I could hear this thing playing in my head. I watched the news before I went to bed, and you know, it was just playing over and over.
Well done, Arlene. Well done, Arlene. Well done, Arlene.
And here's the man who said it. Cheerleader for Arlene, Jimmy DeLargy. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It did sound strange on the telly to see, you know, I know you're an independent observer, a broadcaster and commentator, but well done, Arlene. There hasn't been much of that around over the past couple of months.
Well, you know, you can look at the DUP over its 40-plus years and everything you might say then look assumes a sort of different hue because you have to weigh up this and that. But if you look at things as more sensible on a day-by-day basis, you know, Arlene came out with a deal worth £1 billion. Everybody in Northern Ireland will benefit. It's not been skewed towards one particular community. And you say that she did that with against the background of a lot of people suggesting that it wasn't doable, it would all end in tears, it would be a mess, it would be highly political. She would ask for parades in controversial areas, and instead we get absolutely a very welcome present for everybody, worth £500 for every man, woman and child in Northern Ireland. A bit churlish to say, well, do you know what, that was like, yeah, well, she could have got more, and you know, and after all, who are these people anyway? So, you know, I actually didn't intend to say it. It just came out because it was spontaneous, a spontaneous appreciation of what she did.
It is how a lot of people were actually feeling across the country when they heard about the money, and also when they listened to the Welsh and the Scottish and people from other English regions complaining about it. We felt, jeepers, we've pulled the wool over them here to some extent.
Correct. I mean, I hear this, you know, from the Scots and the Welsh. This is shocking. It's a bung. It's, you know, it's a grubby deal. Yeah, let's have more of them. You know, it's pork barrel politics, but it's working for us. We've done quite well out of it. And if that's a problem for the Welsh and the Scots, well, that's for them to worry about. We've pulled off a stroke, and it's an excellent one for Northern Ireland. And, you know, I just think we should appreciate it. It goes no further than that. But that, tell you what, £1 billion is a decent amount of money.
Here's the crucial question. Does it matter whether it is administered by offices and officials based in London or whether we have our own executive ministers with the fingers on the purse strings?
Well, hugely. Hugely. There's not a single person listening to this discussion who doesn't think that we need locally elected politicians to divvy up the money. They'll do it more sensibly, they'll do it more efficiently. It will be, and do you know what? It'll be democratic. And that's really what it's all about. It's clear that the optimal, you know, a decision or a choice is to have the allocation of the money carried out by people who are responding to the needs of the entire electorate. And, it's now we're getting political, and beyond the wish that everybody shares that we get the politicians back together again, and you know, and this does put a bit of pressure on them. But sort of leaving that aside, it's clear. I mean, it's almost like a non-political point of view just to simply say, of course, it would be a better outcome if it were local politicians distributing the cash.
Do you think they will sort it out over the next 48 hours?
I don't know. You could claim sort of omniscience in many things. I'd prefer to stick to the, you know, the numbers. I just hope they do. I think it's not simply that there's £1 billion to be spent there and they need to get back to doing that. There's another £10 billion, which is, you know, the block grant, which needs £10 billion plus, which needs to be dispersed, spent, spread, distributed wisely, and really, it's that's the demand, that's the pressure for the politicians. And you know what, it's another thing they need to come back to deal with is a sort of a hobby horse of mine, Brexit. Brexit has been a mistake in my view, and we need to sort of lessen the impact of it, and that's local politicians stating a common position as to what we need and what is and to ask for what is deliverable, so as we can mitigate the impact of Brexit. There's lots to be done. I mean, it's clear that, you know, our politicians should should try as you know, and obviously they have genuine principles that, you know, prevent them from, you know, coming to some sort of agreement. But I really think they should make, and I'm just echoing what everybody would say, I think they should make a huge effort over the next 48 hours to try and get some sort of arrangement.
So just remind us of where all this money is going to go. We'll be seeing big diggers and droughts and massive lorries in these shovel-ready projects that have been sitting waiting to go for a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's actually, it's a really well-constructed deal, because I think it would have been very difficult to justify. It might have been popular locally if we just said, well, there's half a billion to go straight into hire more nurses and doctors. It would have led to a huge outcry across the rest of the country. People are saying, well, that's just not fair. What this is doing is it's largely speaking, overwhelmingly going into restructuring renewal. And in other words, it's an investment in the future. And it's been recognised, I think, that our economy suffered very badly during the Troubles. And this is one further sort of contribution to try and remedy, you know, the problems of the past. So I, from that point of view, I think it's very sensible. And, you know, it's a much better deal than the Stormont House Agreement, which was lauded by all the main parties at the time, because that consisted mainly, when you looked at it, it consisted mainly of borrowings. This is money which is coming, it's cash. We don't have to pay it back, like a lot of the money that was on the table in the Stormont House Agreement. So it's a better deal. And there's a lot of, you know, good can be done with it, and especially things like mental health. It just is a smart deal. You know, it's a good deal.
Yeah, just reminding people that infrastructure is going to have about 400 million. Broadband, they're going to improve that. There'll be 75 million per year for 2 years to help provide ultra-fast broadband for all of Northern Ireland. Deprived areas are going to have a significant amount of money, or not, as the case may be. There's £2 million per year for 5 years.
20 million, so 100 million, yeah.
Yeah, but it's £2 million per year for the 5 years, isn't it?
No, it's 20 million a year for the 5 years, sorry.
Right, that's interesting, because I'm not doing this off the top of my head. I'm just looking at it from a list that is in front of me in one of the published documents. But as for health and education, the government will allocate an additional £50 million per year for 2 years to enable the executive to address immediate pressures in health and education. And the UK government will allocate £100 million per year for 2 years to support the Northern Ireland executive's delivery of its priority of health service transformation. You know, I tend to agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, Jamie, in relation to your 20 million, because like 2 million per year for anything in this day and age is a pittance, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be. No, I'm pretty sure it's 20 million. But look, I mean, it's well structured, it's sensible, it's not biased against or in favour of any community. As someone said, there was some suggestion on Twitter, and you know, all sorts of opinions appear on Twitter, that somehow that it might be seen or it could possibly end up, you know, benefiting one community. And someone said, you know, I don't know that Catholics won't be able to use the York Street interchange when it's built. And I thought that sort of, like, you know, answered that particular concern.
And the mental health issue, which you touched on, £10 million per year for 5 years to support the Northern Ireland executive to deliver issues on mental health. And that is such, you touched on it, but it's such a talking point at present, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's lots to be done. There's one billion reasons why the executive, or sorry, the party should get back into the up with Stormont and hammer out some sort of agreement. And you know what? Here's a thought. They're never ever going to come to some sort of arrangement where it's going to be permanent. It's going to be it's going to last forever. Everything is a bit of a lash together. Let's not pretend that there's a possibility over the course of the 48 hours they could sink all their differences and, you know, come to some sort of arrangement that will last without any problem for 5 to 10 years. I mean, that's just fiction. What we're talking about is a sort of is politics. It's just like hammering together something that will allow them to continue for a couple of years, let's say. The longer the better, but just let's get a thing on the road again, for goodness sake.
Well, that's what I think everyone's hoping, that the thing will be back on the road, as you put it so eloquently, Jimmy. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Jimmy De Largie, the man with the figures. Right, good morning to you. It's gone 25 to 10.